and peace are yours from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm sure you've said it many times, and you're probably familiar with saying it after fights and arguments, disagreements, or little mistakes. You've been taught to say it. A newly married man might get these words of advice, that the two words he should memorize more often than any others are, "I'm sorry." No matter where or how you learned it, apologizing is a crucial part of the society we have together. When someone wrongs you, you want an apology. When you accidentally insult somebody or step on their toes walking over them in a movie theater, you have to apologize. Some of us even have this difficult issue of apologizing too much. And even when we're told that we apologize too much, we say, "I'm sorry." You and I have been taught to apologize in various and many different ways for all sorts of the wrong things that you and I do. And sadly, in the world that you and I live in today, there's even a call for us to apologize for being a Christian. You don't have to look too far to find a critique of Christianity or a critique of Christians in the newspaper or on a Facebook post. I mean, maybe you've even seen some other Christians behave shamefully and feel the need to just say, "I'm sorry. Not all Christians are like this." Well, Peter understood that. For the Christians that lived in his time, it wasn't going to be popular. He knows at this time that you and I live in, Christians still aren't popular, really. In his letter that you and I read today, he highlights the suffering that the people of God have to go through for the sake of Jesus Christ. So the early church, they faced much more than just bad press on Facebook or in the news. They faced suffering, beatings, imprisonment, slander, abuse, loss of property, and at times the loss of their very lives. See, Peter says to them, "It is better to suffer for doing good, if that is God's will, than for doing evil." Well, suffering, it's another word that you and I are familiar with. And it's true, there are many degrees to suffering, and you've experienced the whole spectrum, I'm sure, at times in your life. And I'm not talking about these small inconveniences that you and I go through that make us pause and feel, "Oh, this is such a difficult way to go." But the suffering is that heavy weight that sits in the middle of your chest, the drop in your stomach. It's when a father loses his children and his wife in divorce. It's when a mother loses her job. It's when a young man is facing depression. It's when a young girl wonders if anyone will ever love her. So suffering in our world, it's something that you and I are familiar with. Suffering is something that our risen Lord is familiar with. Because Peter writes, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit." You see, Christ suffered. He took the nails in his hands and his feet. He took the scorn and the angry shouts from the crowd. He took the beating. He took the people spitting on him. He took the abandonment of his very Father. But this Lamb went uncomplaining forth to Calvary for the unrighteous. Christ died for you and for me. Also that you'll be one for him in baptism. See, Peter writes, "Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you." Brothers and sisters in Christ, you were one in Jesus Christ. You were one for the Lord because baptism brings you into this new family. But first, you're baptized into the life and death of Jesus Christ, this drowning of the old Adam. So this old Adam is the original sin that you and I were born with. It's the sin that makes us enemies to God. It's why we sin daily and fall short of the glory of God. See, this old Adam, he constantly wants to drag us further and further away from God. He wants to turn our eyes away from the Word. He wants to curve us in so that we're focusing on ourselves. This old Adam is the one who wants to drive us towards suffering. See, the sin, it makes us feel as though you and I are gods. We're able to make our own choices. You know, we're able to do our own things and decide our own life. That's why drowning this old Adam is not easy. It makes you and I feel like maybe we're missing out. Missing out on all the fun things that this world has to offer. I mean, after all, what's the problem with a little bit of drunkenness? Sleeping around for a few years, skimming off the top just a little bit, or a little white lie? What's the harm? What's the danger? The old Adam wants to convince you to go towards these things. Leave Jesus in the grave. This is way more fun without all the guilt or the shame. You finally get to be the person that you want to be. You can finally go out and live your best life. Well, this old Adam, he lies. That little bit of drunkenness leads a man to lose his children and wife in divorce. Skimming a little bit from the top, well, that just lost a woman her job. A few little white lies leaves a young man trapped in depression. And sleeping around for a few years leaves a girl wondering if anybody will ever love her. See, so you and I, we don't just avoid the old Adam. You and I drown the old Adam daily with confession and absolution, with repentance, with contrition. Because in the waters of baptism, Christ died for you and for me. That old Adam dies, not so that you and I, you know, can enjoy a fun life, but so you and I may have the best life. Christ died so that you and I can truly live. This baptism saves you. Not later, now. Peter writes, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear, nor be troubled." You see, this new life that you and I have, it's not devoid of suffering. It isn't a life on easy street all of a sudden, but Peter challenged us to suffer for righteousness' sake. Suffer not because of this desire for the sin that you and I can't have. Don't suffer because there's this fun out there and everybody else is having fun, but I have to stay in here with my rules and righteous living. But don't suffer because nothing is going the way you want it to. Don't suffer under the yoke of the great deceiver. Don't suffer under the rules and lies of Satan. He wants to deceive you. He is a fraud whose only goal is for you to suffer and lose faith. Instead, Peter challenges us. Suffer for the gospel. Suffer for righteousness. Suffer because you can't bear to imagine that there are those out there who have not heard the good news. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And you see, Satan's going to mock you for believing this. Just like Paul was called a blabberer, he's going to cause you to suffer on account of this truth. He's going to make you try to doubt. And this liar, he's going to point to your own sin and your own failures. And he's going to say to you, "See, this hospitality that God offers you, it's not really for you. You don't deserve this. You might be able to fool everybody out there, but I know your sin. I know your failures. I know your shortcomings. There's no way you're a part of the family of God. There's no way Christ would welcome someone like you. So give him an apology, a Greek apology, an apologia." See, this is what Peter writes as, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. Apologia, or apology. It's not the classic, "I'm sorry," but it's a defense. This defense is fully founded in your hope, the hope of the resurrection that is to come, the hope that you were baptized into, the same hope that came when mercy came flooding into our lives, when Christ threw open the doors of heaven for you and for me and welcomed us to the family of God. This faith is something you and I should never be sorry for. See, Christ suffered so you and I could become children of God. But he didn't just suffer. He rose. He rose and he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. He ascended over powers. He ascended over angels and authorities. He has the power subjected to him. Christ died and he rose to make you God's own child. May you recall, in times of suffering, Hymn 594, God's own child, I gladly say it. Specifically the third stanza. Hear this apology. Satan, hear this proclamation. I am baptized into Christ. Drop your ugly accusation. I am not so soon enticed. Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled. And against your tyranny, God, my Lord, unites with me. So be it. Amen. As followers of Christ, keep loving one another earnestly and show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Amen.